Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, good evening and welcome to the Lap Down Podcast. It is going to be a great night tonight. I am your host, Greg Farmer, and tonight we have JP, Valentino, Mike, Ryan, and Tyler. How are we doing tonight, boys?
Really good.
Good.
Not too bad.
What's up, America?
As always, you know, we got to shout them out. Thank you to the Alkali Project for the intro song. And please be sure to check out their album, The Blood World, on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, wherever you get your music. They are doing some great stuff over there. I actually listened to their album in full the other day, and it's really good. You guys need to check it out. But, gentlemen, we have a lot to cover tonight. A lot of breaking news stuff over the weekend.
Yes, we do.
First things first, as you guys know, the St. Pete Grand Prix was back in March, and Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin finished 1-2 or 1st and 3rd in that race. And over a month later, IndyCar handed down some penalties that disqualified both of their finishing positions after they found that their push-to-pass feature had been violated on the restarts in that race. How do we feel about those penalties? Were they warranted, well-deserved, or what?
They also assessed a 10-point penalty to their teammate, Will Power, who did not utilize the push to pass out of turn, but he was still penalized because the option was available.
So how do we feel about that?
I think go ahead.
I think it was warranted.
Oh yeah, warranted.
I feel like honestly, if there was initial a penalty, they would have done it like a week after. Why wait a month?
They didn't find the infraction until they were in the inspection line at Long Beach. They didn't catch the problem until then. Which, I mean, yeah, they should be inspecting them good enough to avoid that, but
yeah, but see, the problem that I have, and by the way, welcome in, Jamie. Last minute addition there. The problem that I have with the whole, you know, penalty and all that stuff is, like, at the thermal event, their exhibition event that they did a little while ago, they were allowed to use the push to pass feature, which, I mean, I get it's an exhibition event, but shouldn't it be, like, you know, fair across the board?
Well, it was no point, and neither one of them won the million, so I don't really see. I mean, yeah, you could disqualify their finishing positions, but it would just change the results of a race that ultimately had no meaning.
Yeah.
All I know is evidently the push-to-pass software was supposed to be removed from their hybrid testing. That just reminds me of when Joey Logano should remove his webbing between his fingers too. Penske's always having a problem, huh? Penske, bro, I tell you.
Nah.
Well,
it's like, hey guys,
Penske owns any car
at all.
You gotta love it, Doc.
Scott McLaughlin was the only driver from that team to even make. Oh, wait, no, Joseph Newgarden did finish 8th in the main event for the $1 million challenge, but.
Well, I mean, Team Penske pretty much gave IndyCar the big middle finger this past weekend after Scott McLaughlin won Barber Motorsports Park and posed with the mannequin in victory lane that fell from the bridge in the middle of the race. I don't know if you guys seen that or not.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
That was funny.
Yeah.
At first I thought it was a real person. Like, oh, shoot.
Right. It literally looked like a real person that fell at first.
I just find it funnier that was intentional. I mean, they intended for that mannequin to eventually fall on somebody, and that was supposedly the mannequin choosing its driver to be its partner for the rest of its life or whatever. That's legitimately what they were talking about as the reason for why it was there.
I saw a highlight. Who was the one that actually hit the mannequin as they went
Pietro.
By?
Pietro.
Yeah, was, yeah.
I think was it.
Was it?
That was.
I saw someone clip it. And then he posed with it after the race.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, going into Sunday.
Barber seems to be the track of weird stuff happening. Because anyone remember when a street sweeper literally tipped over there in what, 2018, 2019, something like that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
The street sweeper that had a nice low speed just tipped right over crash.
Yep. Kind of reminds you of the jet dryers at like Daytona when they slide down the banking, you know?
Yeah.
Or when Montoya hits it.
Yeah.
Well, Montoya hitting it was a lot scarier for a lot of people.
I was at that race. It sucked.
That one was such a slow speed crash that it was just more comical than anything else.
Yep. But
we all prefer something being comical to being scared for people's lives.
Yep. But Saturday night, Kevin Harvick put out a tweet that got the racing world buzzing, trying to figure out what it was that was going to be happening. And during the pre-race show for the cup race at Dover, he announced that All-Star Weekend Kyle Larson will be in Indianapolis practicing for the Indy 500, and Harvick will be jumping in the 5 car to do practice and qualifying. So that was some big breaking news. The guys on Door Bumper Clear today said that, you know, HMS does technically have guys in the pipeline, like at JRM, like Sammy Smith and Sam Mayer and Allgaier and stuff like that, but they feel like Kevin Harvick is the best choice for this because, one, he's driven these cars, and two, he's the broadcaster, so he can go in on Sunday for the All-Star race and actually give like in-depth analysis. What do you guys think about that?
I'm gonna have to agree with you, buddy.
I agree.
You know, Kevin Harvick is, you know, obviously a cup champion, and I don't know if he's ran North Wilkesboro prior to last year, you know, in the past before they closed it down, but I can tell you that with his expertise behind the wheel, he's definitely the guy I would want to get my car dialed in for Sunday.
Yeah.
You can even help Hendrick.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the majority of his career, he ran Chevrolet too. So, you know,
He has more wins for Ford, I believe, than he does for Chevy wins.
Yeah, that's very true. But it was up until, let's see, he started in 2017
was his first year with Ford.
Yeah, so 2001 to 2016, he drove Chevy. You know, that's RCR, a very long time for RCR, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, for back when he drove for DEI and then RCR from
not
there.
Not DEI, RCR.
No, he never drove for DEI.
Oh, okay.
It was 2001 to 2013, he was with RCR, and then 2014 to 2023, he was Stuart Haas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But some more All-Star news that we're going to cover real quick. They came out and announced the format a couple days ago and announced that Goodyear is trying something different for the All-Star race with the tire package. They're going to have their traditional hard tire, but then they're also going to have a alternate tire, which is basically like a soft tire like you would see in IndyCar, and it's supposed to promote tire wear. They're done trying to remodel the cars for the short track, so they're trying to focus on the tires. And what better place to do it than the All-Star race when there's nothing on the line but except $1 million?
But there's probably obviously going to be a like obviously there's going to be some type of like, if you get these tires, they're going to be a little bit better than the hard tires, maybe with like speed, but on short run, but your tires are going to wear a little bit faster than the other tires. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's sounds- I'm getting like a couple sets for the race to see you play games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that might be interesting. They may have to stop a little bit more, but the racing might be more interesting.
Well, see what Denny Hamlin was saying today was, they have to start on the soft tires, and the All-Star race is 200 laps, and they're going to have a halfway break at lap 100 to do whatever, make adjustments, change tires, whatever. So he said it's basically going to be like, he's hoping it's going to be like Bristol, where you're going to have guys trying to manage their tires, and you might have somebody else running really hard. And there's going to be like a lot of comers and goers. We're probably going to see like tons of passing, unlike last year with the All-Star race. You know, you got the repave. They're already running 2 or 3 seconds faster with the repave. And then you're introducing a soft tire. I mean, this could turn out to be a good race, in my opinion.
And one thing I'd like to add is I read today XPD will not be in the field for the All-Star race.
Yep.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean,
he qualifies because he won Chicago.
Yeah, I was going to say he's eligible because he won last year, but Trackhouse nor colleague is going to field a car for him.
Yeah.
Put him in a 100 car.
I was going to say, do we know who is going to be in the 16 for the All-Star race?
Allmendinger.
Probably,
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I would imagine it's Allmendinger because he's the veteran oval racer of the group.
Well, he's a face of colleague, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie, you're pretty quiet over there. What do you think about the new tire thing for the All-Star race?
It's definitely going to be interesting. I'm excited to see how it works, and if that can get incorporated into NASCAR, that just adds a whole nother layer of strategy. And I'm all for more levels of strategy, more ways to see how things play out to make the races better, or not necessarily better, but more more on the drivers and more on the teams to come up with something different, since they're all running similar manufacturers and body styles and things like that. So any underlying wrinkle that we can add that adds a new dynamic that no one's really accustomed to on the NASCAR circuit, I'm all for.
I honestly think they try to adopt. I think if it goes well, I think they try to adopt like what IndyCar does for like road courses and stuff like that, and short tracks, and keep it for the short track package. I mean, having the primary and the option tire,
yeah,
promote strategy and passing. I wouldn't do it for. I would not do it for the meet and greet ovals because those don't need to be fixed.
Oh no, but maybe for like short tracks and road courses.
Yeah, absolutely. If this succeeds, I agree with Jamie, we could see a whole new playing field for the rest of the short tracks the rest of the season.
Yeah, but I honestly remember a very similar gimmick being used back in the 2017 All-Star race, I mean, where they had the softer option tires that were noticeably faster. They got one set of them to use throughout the All-Star race, and you had to be smart about when you put them on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But that was also when they tried that damn 550 horsepower and the giant spoiler package.
2018's when they tried that.
That's where we saw like pack race, almost like pack racing.
Yeah, they put
that was the 2018 All-Star race. 2017's when they had the green option tires.
Gotcha. 2018 was the refrigerator plate that led to the 550.
Put the 1,000 horsepower for their All-Star race too. Let's do that.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
All right.
As much as I wish it were.
Turn left and go fast. That's our style.
talking about Dover, we had two races over the weekend. The Xfinity Series race on Saturday. Rain, go away. The forecast was fantastic leading up to the weekend, and then on Saturday, the threat of rain was there all day long. They had
That's notable for Dover. They had
a caution with 30 or 40 to go for rain. And it wasn't even raining that hard, like, but it was raining hard enough for them to bring them down the pit road double file and just sit there for 20 minutes. And Justin Allgaier and Cole Custer were the class of the field on Saturday, but they were really close on fuel and tires and ended up having to pit after a couple cautions. But Ryan Truex literally stole the win on Saturday after a couple of green-white checkers. He passed Carson Quapel coming to the white flag. Carson Quapel was in position to get his first career win and only his second start. But he ended up finishing second, which is still a career best for his second start. So he's proven that he belongs in the Xfinity Series. He drives smart. He doesn't ruffle any feathers. But the big story is the little team that could, Anthony Alfredo and our motorsports car, took home the $100,000 Dash for Cash bonus, which is massive for that team. I heard on one of the podcasts, I think it was last week, they only have 13 employees that work there, that run the shop, build the cars, engineers, like just 13 people. So you can imagine what $100,000 would do for that team. And it's not like
he'd be able to hire a 14th employee.
And it's not like he lucked into the $100,000 either. Like, he finished good at Talladega, which made him eligible for the $100,000 or for the Dash for Cash race at Dover. But he drove himself into the top 10 come the end of the race. You know, like I said, the little team that could, that team doesn't give up. I remember a few years ago, they had Brett Moffitt running for them, and he was running fantastic, like, all year. But how do you guys feel about Fast Pasta taking home this $100,000?
He deserved it.
Yeah, he deserved it. I know I fell asleep, and I was asleep all weekend, but he deserved it. And I went to a concert this weekend that made me miss part of the Xfinity race. But, I mean, from what I could tell, he was moving.
Yeah, he deserved it, man.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign for just NASCAR in general that some of these smaller teams can still compete and have the opportunity to win bonuses like this that can make major contributions to their tech side, to the tech side of their team, to when it comes to getting information and being able to get into the swing of things and be competitive with all these mainstream teams without feeling like that they're always going to be at a disadvantage. So I love the $100,000 Dash for Cash idea. I think it's smart, and it just pushes the smaller teams to be better, and it's working.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
You look at two weeks in a row, two small teams won the Dash for Cash. You had Ryan Sieg win it last week at Talladega, and then Anthony Alfredo this week. You know, that like, I agree with Jamie, that's like super, super impressive. Go ahead, Ryan. I know you were trying to say something.
But just think back to a couple years ago. I mean, this was kind of the same position we saw colleague racing in. They were the small one car team with Blake Koch behind the wheel, and now they're a three car Xfinity Series juggernaut and a multi car cup team as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just got a few more of these in there, and you might start seeing some of these teams becoming more and more competitive in the Xfinity, and the more and more competitive they get, the more that they might trickle into the Cup side, which just brings another layer of competition, which can also hopefully increase the annual car count to get back to the 40 drivers that we're used to in the old days.
Or even more, like maybe we get back up to 43 regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can even look at some of the other small teams. I mean, I don't know if you would consider them small, but like Rick Ware Racing, you know, their points position doesn't reflect it, but they are running more competitively this year. You know, like at Bristol a few weeks ago, freaking Kaz Grala in the 15 was running in the top 10. Now, granted, that was due to the whole tire debacle and all that stuff, but you know, he Kaz was running Grala in the right top to- 10.
Justin Haley is running real well.
Justin Haley is doing fantastic in that 51 car. And last week at Talladega, when I was there, freaking Haley and
Cody Ware
in the 15. Cody Ware was up leading the race at one point.
Yeah, Corey LaJoy does pretty good every once in a while as well.
Yep, Spire. They're doing great on the truck side. They're improving on the cup side. You know, you got, you know, LaJoy running better. Carson Hocevar with a few top 15s already, and we're only 11 weeks in. So, I mean, all these small teams are really starting to show their muscle against the big guys.
Although I would say that going back to Justin Haley for just a second, I know we talked about how Rick Ware is closer to the field than we've seen. I still think looking at that lateral move that Haley made going from Colleague Racing to the Rick Ware team, I still don't really see a ton of logic in the move. And looking at the points position right now, he is behind not only the team car of the 15 in owner's points, because obviously rotation of drivers, he's ahead of them in driver points, but he's behind them in owner's points. He's also behind both the 31 and 16 cars at Colleague as well. So, while they appear to be improving, they're still, it seems like, pretty clearly he's a step behind everybody else in the same situation.
Yep.
But yeah, whether it's the Colleague drivers or his teammates at the 15.
Yeah. But I'm also impressed with Ryan Truex. It's hard to, when you only go to a track one time a year, it's hard to get back-to-back wins. And Ryan Truex, just like MTJ, they kind of claim that home field advantage being at Dover. Yeah. And he just has a knack for showing up at the very end, to where I'm starting to give Ryan Truex a nickname, Mr. Steal Your Win.
It's like Kevin Harvick almost.
The closer.
Shows up at the
end.
Yeah,
the closer.
Ryan Truex is the new closer.
I mean, he's got to be a little bit more consistent. Let's not get too crazy with it. We're not going to give him Kevin Harvick's nickname now that he's retired, because he stole one win out of the entire year. Just found him to be at Dover again. But he's got to get a little more consistent before I can call him the closer. But Mr. Steal Your Win, I'll get to call him that all day.
Honestly, I think Ryan Truex needs a full-time ride. Like, take that name. 20 car. That 20 car does not need to be a rotation of drivers. I think Ryan Truex needs to be in that car full-time.
Or you could give him the 19 car, because the 19 car definitely doesn't need to be a rotation of drivers.
Make
you
that
don't
a
need
family
two
number.
Rotational cars.
Yeah.
Like, make it a family number, Ryan.
And or
make the 19 a family number.
If Anthony Alfredo keeps doing good, they can move their team to a two car team and put him in behind the wheel.
Yeah, hey, I mean, he's shown that he can run, but what I wanted, like, just as impressive as Ryan Truex is, how much longer do we have to wait for Carson Kvyat to get a full time ride in the Xfinity Series?
It's going to be until the end of the season, at least, just because of the way that things work.
He's definitely going to get one.
He wasn't for a full time Xfinity Series ride prior to getting these starts in Junior Motorsports.
Yeah, but the dude drives like a veteran, and it is absolutely insane. For as young as he is to be in the position that he is, to have the level of understanding and the foresight to make certain moves, it's just incredible to watch.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it is.
He'll be full time in the next year or two. Easily. Like I said this a couple weeks ago. When Bubba Pollard ran the 88 at Richmond, he finished sixth, and he just, you know, played strategy correctly, worked his way into the top 10, you know, and he's literally right down the road from me, like an hour down in Senoia, Georgia. And Dale Jr. had him on his podcast that week, and he told Bubba to his face that after that Richmond race, he had other team owners in the Xfinity Series texting him, trying to get Bubba to run full time for them, but it all comes down to sponsorship. So the same thing with Carson Quapple, you know, he probably has the sponsorship backing. It's just who is going to make him an offer to run full time. I personally wanted to be Dale Jr. and have him run for JRM.
But yeah, well, I mean, you...
oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, it all boils down to funding. I recently did an interview for my show with MBM, and that's what we talked about, was funding it takes to put these guys in cars. And Carson Quapple is making his name known, so other teams are going to want him. And I don't think funding will be as big of an issue.
Yeah, especially since his dad was a driver too. They probably have a little bit of money.
Yeah, but I say funding will still be tough, especially when you factor in. I mean, it is not the same NASCAR it was 20 years ago, where if you are out there running well and winning races, the funding will just naturally come.
Well, you do get paid if you come in top 10, right?
Well, I'm going to say, yes, there's that, but I'm more thinking of when it comes to these drivers trying to secure funding, because the race earnings aren't enough to keep you in that seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just like everyone likes to use the example of, like, why doesn't Dale Jr. go to Cup? It's all about funding. It's he knows where the sweet spot is right now, and the sweet spot is being in the Xfinity with a team that he's already got. They're established or making money with their finishes, but if he goes to Cup, now he's got to rebuild those relationships on a funding level, but on a manufacturer level as well. And that's another wrinkle, is like the manufacturer development. Yes, Carson can drive like the better of them, but if he doesn't have the complete manufacturer backing with his age and being scared off that way, that's another dynamic to it as well.
Yeah. Not only that, but the charters are going for like $40 million right now too.
Too expensive.
Junior's already said that he doesn't want to spend $40 million on a charter to put a car in the Cup Series and then it not be competitive, and feels like he's wasting $40 million. So
yeah. And think of how many top tens and how many race wins you have to get in order for him to get a portion of that money back.
Yeah.
I think he'd be way more prosperous than just sticking in the liquor business like he's in now. For real. Especially around them southern tracks, they love their liquor now.
Yep.
But the Cup race was on Sunday, and last week on Actions Detrimental, Denny Hamlin called his shot, and he hit a home run. He went out and won the Cup race on Sunday. He got the lead on pit road during a caution period. And pretty much, you know, had control of the race from there. Kyle Larson finished second for, I believe they said it was the sixth time that Hamlin and Larson had finished 1-2 in the last 2 years. So before we get into the big topic, could we be looking at the modern Jeff Gordon versus Dale Earnhardt rivalry with Larson and Hamlin? They have good battles on the track. They race each other clean, just like Earnhardt and Gordon did. What do you guys think?
Y-E-S. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 1,000%. I'm with JP on that one.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you can compare them. You know, like, I'm not calling Denny Hamlin Dale Earnhardt by no means. By the way, shout out, happy birthday, Dale Earnhardt up in heaven. His birthday was yesterday. You know, you got Denny Hamlin, who's more on the aggressive side. Like, he drives more aggressively. He'll move you out of the way if he has to. And Kyle Larson is the more reserved driver. Like, he'll race you hard, but he'll race you clean. You know, he's not going to move you. You know, Gordon, I don't think Gordon ever did that. And Earnhardt, you know, obviously certainly did. So, I mean, this could be like the modern day 24-3.
I think it's just great to have on-track rivalries again. And the fact that we're having this conversation just says leaps and bounds of how NASCAR has become. And it's about what we said at the very beginning. Like, the talent that we have for this year is incredible. And we hinted on, like, some of the younger talent, but even the veteran status on there, like the Denny Hamlins, like the Martin Truexes, Kyle Busch is now. I guess I'll throw Joey Logano in there, even though he's still kind of young. He just seems like he's been in there forever. But the fact that we have these kind of rivals, and it's at such at a level that they are still heads and shoulders, like, on any given week, just because they have that rivalry does not mean that that's the only rival on the track and that they're always going to be the ones in the winning position. And I think it's going to be fantastic to watch. They seem to be a magnet around each other, and it's going to be fun.
Mike or Jamie, what do you guys think? Or Mike or Ryan, sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that you will definitely see a bit of this rivalry, but it seems like Denny seems to have a knack of picking a driver throughout a season and then just having this one-season rivalry with them. I mean, look at the rivalry with Chastain that one year. Then it was, I think it was Larson last year, and it's a little bit carried over to this year. Obviously, I don't think either driver has really wronged the other one, unlike how a lot of people talked about Kansas last year, or was it Pocono last year as well, where those two got into it? And Denny Hamlin came out on the right side?
No, I think it was... No, maybe not, Eric. You might be right. You might be right. I think it
was... I only remember Kansas, and to me, Kansas last year was just a racing incident. You know, I don't think Hamlin did anything intentional to Larson on that in that race.
Yeah, it was a hard race. Yeah.
But
as someone that was at the track, it was definitely a lot of fun watching them battle all race long. Yeah. And in those closing laps, like, from sitting in the stands, and when it came to 1 and 2, Denny Hamlin just had the better car in 1 and 2. But in 3 and 4, he would take a 6-car length lead and drop it down to like 2. By the time they got back into the turn.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching on TV, and Larson always gained on Hamlin in 3 and 4, but lost a lot going into 1 and 2. But there at the end, you know, with about 5 or 6 to go, Hamlin saw what Larson was doing and pretty much took his line away, which leads us into the big topic of the conversation, aero blocking. It sucks. Obviously it's nothing new. It's been around for quite a while, you know, but it seems more prevalent with these cars. You know, as you saw in the race on Sunday, I mean, you could even go back to the end of stage 2. Alex Bowman was reeling Larson in for the stage win, and then when he got to Larson, he just lost all of his momentum because Larson started aero blocking him. And Hamlin was doing the same thing to Larson at the end of the race. How do you guys feel about the whole aero blocking crap?
Bowman got mad at Larson for that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's honestly, I don't like it, honestly. It's not, I mean, I get it. Like, you're trying to block for the lead. Like, cutting somebody's air off is, like, it just makes the racing not great. It slows down the cars, and it just looks bad. It actually looked pretty bad on TV. It looks like he was trying to wreck him on TV.
Yeah.
My main question with the whole thing is, yeah, I agree, it doesn't look good on TV whatsoever. My only question is, how do you go about trying to work something like that out? Like, you can't say, because I don't see NASCAR ever going and penalizing people for blocking, because that would be about the stupidest way to solve this. Would be to go to
racing, and aero blocking is just
rule where you can't block more than once or whatever.
Then again, it happens in F1 all the time, aero blocking.
Yeah, but also, I don't think NASCAR wants to go ahead and start throwing out penalties like F1. Yeah,
Formula 1 does.
Well, yeah. NASCAR does not want to become that.
I technically, they don't throw penalties in IndyCar at the Indy 500 for aero blocking, and that, you know damn well, they aero block at the Indy 500 for sure.
Oh, yeah, I know, but blocking is definitely a thing that they can throw a penalty for. They just haven't decided to do it on any of the Indy 500 ones. I think it was 2019 Long Beach. I think it was Ray Hall got a penalty for blocking Scott Dixon, I think, on down the end of that race.
Yeah. My whole take on it is,
they do have a rule against blocking. They just very selectively enforce it for IndyCar. Yeah.
My whole take on it is, if you look at the Xfinity series, the car, like you say, you got, you know, cars running first and second. The car in second is the one that can manipulate the air. Like, they can get up to the rear bumper of the leader and, like, you know, get him a little squirrely without even touching him, or he can get to his inside and pack some air on that left rear quarter panel, and it makes him all squirrely and wiggly and stuff like that. But with the cup cars, the lead car is manipulating the air, because all he's got to do, if he sees, you know, the guy in second running him down, all he's got to do is move up and take his line, and then boom, you know, it's over. And to me, that's kind of dumb, like, because the guy in second basically doesn't even have a chance to even try to battle for the lead or whatever.
Well, then find a different line, make yourself faster. I mean, I like the fact that the leader isn't at a disadvantage. I mean, they're the leader for a reason. They're the fast car. And you already know that second place is going to have the slighter advantage with the aero, with the drafting, trying to get up behind. So I like the fact that it kind of puts that as an even playing field with the leader. That's just my take on it.
But at a track the size of Dover, does drafting really come into that much of a factor with the...
It helps with momentum entering the turns.
But yeah,
I'll give you a little stat here, and I'll let you guys, you know, run away with it if you want to. The last five laps of the race, Denny Hamlin ran an average lap time of 24.35 seconds, and this was quoted on Door Bumper Clear. Kyle Larson was running a lap time of 24.17 seconds. He was 0.2 of a second faster than Hamlin, but could not get past Hamlin.
About 5-10 laps before the end of the race, Hamlin figured out which line he was running, like you said, started cutting off his line. And he started running away with it at that time. And then Larson started reeling him in again because he started catching up with lap traffic. And at that time, he was too late. You know, it's just – he just bought himself some time, and that was just a smart veteran move.
And honestly, like, being at the track, any time that Larson finally had gotten up to Hamlin and was able to actually challenge for the lead – that's when they would hit lap traffic, and Hamlin would always choose the right spot and caused Larson to have to follow suit, and that's what ultimately allowed him to get his lead back. So it's not solely on the dirty air blocking or whatever, but there was a lot of other factors that kept Larson behind him.
Definitely in Texas, though. Last week I was talking about how the air was just absolutely insane, and you couldn't get past nobody, really.
But I was also listening to another podcast, and they were saying that Dover was the first track in the past 4 weeks that wind was not an issue with the cars. So when they referenced Texas as an example, the wind was so bad that those cars were just slow because of how much wind was gusting.
I hope that's not the case at Darlington.
And Dover, with like less than 5 mile an hour winds at Dover, it allowed NASCAR to really see what these cars can do. And I enjoyed it. There wasn't much of there was no real complaints on my side. It had a good enough action. Crowds were great. Definitely able to get some good racing, but it wasn't boring enough to where they were just green flag the entire time. It was the perfect mix that I could hope for a Dover race.
Yeah.
I'll be going there one of these days.
Probably
next year.
Before we leave the Dover subject, I just want to give a quick shout out to Corey Heim. I thought he did a fantastic job. Kind of skating on the lead lap. You didn't hear much of him. But barring the circumstances of him taking over for Eric Jones in that 43 car, I think he did pretty good.
Great looking car, too.
Yeah. Corey did a good job. Like, he really did. Before we move into the next topic, did you guys see Kaz Grala's crash on Saturday during practice?
Oh, yeah, where
that was a hard hit.
That was a sledgehammer shot.
yeah.
Did you see the video of the fan that recorded it right off of four?
Yeah, no, I saw that video. Like, you could hear the impact on the wall from that guy's point of view. Like, that was massive.
In his in-car, as soon as it happened, as soon as he finally came to us, he was like, well, that was super unexpected.
Yeah, the car literally just snapped on him coming out of four, and he tried to correct it, and it just went straight up into the wall. But, all right, we are going to move into green flags and black flags for our new... Anybody new who's listening, green flags is something that we like, something that we didn't like. And it could be for anything over the race weekend. We will start with JP.
Oh, JP gets to go first. So, JP, like the fact to those of you that don't like getting healing, I thought Denny Hamlin did good that win. After I woke up and saw that he won the race, he did look like he had a fast car. So my green flag goes to Denny Hamlin and that whole team from Gil Gibbs Racing. And I give Mr. Gil Gibbs, if you're listening out there, great to know you and stuff. But my black flag had to be, man, we just talked about it a little bit. That hit, scary as heck. Glad to see he was okay.
Jay, repeat that last thing. It cut out for me.
I said the black flag with the 15th hit in practice.
All
right. I did not.
What was
like
your green flag?
That. And the green flag.
I know it was for Denny Hamlin, but I missed. keep cutting out on the reason why. For some reason, my connection is awful tonight.
Denny Hamlin, I think that team's going to win the championship this year. I just have a feeling. So,
yep.
Valentino.
All right, so my green flags, hate to be biased again, but Chase Elliott, top five finish. He's back in the groove again, back in the swing of things. Had a tough break since he broke his leg. I think he went snowboarding with his girlfriend, but I don't want to mention. But anyway, yeah, but I'm just glad to see him back in the groove. So that's my green flag. Black flag. Damn, what's a good black flag? Probably that there wasn't any truck race this week. I'd like to see the trucks racing at Dover and see how that goes. That'd be pretty cool.
All right. Jamie, you were there at Dover. So what you got, buddy?
I'm going to put the green flag to the crowd at Dover. It's been a long time since I've seen that track packed as it was. It brought me back to the old days. I got there at around 11:30, 12-ish, and it took me about an hour just to get to a parking spot.
Goodness.
So it's been a hot minute since Dover's had that many people there. So green flag is definitely the crowd turnout for the race. Black flag is the weather for the Xfinity race. Like, we can't have a Dover weekend for what it seems like in the history of me going there without having some type of weather scare of rain showers or sprinklings or clouds hovering over the track. It's like an inevitable feat. Like, when you go to Dover, you're going to see weather at some point. Yeah, so
stay
black flag on the weather. Stay away.
Yeah, stay away from Darlington. Stay away from Darlington.
Stay away from Watkins Glen.
In Kansas.
See, the rain can go to Watkins Glen. They have rain.
That'd be a fun race.
They do.
Yeah. I don't want to be soaked.
Well, too bad. I would love to see that race.
Better than having a race canceled at, say, New Hampshire Motor Speedway or something.
That is fair. That is fair. That's valid.
What about you, Mike?
My green flag would be Suarez passing his citizen test. That's pretty cool for him.
Yep.
Oh, heck yeah. Congratulations, Daniel.
Yeah.
My black flag would be Ryan Sieg and how his car went up in flames. That was crazy. And his motor blew up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He had to get out of the car real quick, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He went running. Yeah. I was thinking he pulled extinguisher handles for the car.
No, who friggin' Jordan Anderson.
It was freaking Jordan Anderson at Talladega in 2022 when his truck burst into flames and he bailed out before the truck even stopped.
Yep.
And Ryan Priest had to.
I was there at Dover in 2022 as well.
Yeah, I was there at Talladega for that truck race, and that was scary to see. And they lifelighted him to the freaking Birmingham Hospital, and seeing the helicopter take off over our heads. We weren't even paying attention to the truck race. We were just watching what was happening there in the infield.
Did NASCAR ever talk about what happened to McDowell that caused him to exit the race?
He got damage in one of the crash, and I think the Bubba Byron crash. He may have gotten a piece of or something.
I believe he was already in the garage at that point.
He got damaged during one of the crashes after the speeding penalty that put him behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I remember Mike Joy saying something about some sort of mechanical issue for him, but they never specified what it was.
I was going to say that Ryan Priest was riding around the racetrack breathing in his smoke for about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, his rocker panel.
Yeah.
On fire again.
Yeah.
I thought Snoop Dogg was in the car with him.
the damn door foam caught on fire or something.
Don't the Fords that have that issue, really. There seem to be the ones that have all the issues with that fire catching up.
That's what they all say when they strap.
They're trying to put the dark in Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they all say when they strap Seth Rogen in the car with him on Sunday.
Ryan, what about you?
All right, so for me, I'm going to give my green flag as well to Daniel Suarez for passing the citizenship test and becoming a and actually getting his dual citizenship. So, and for my black flag, I'm going to go ahead and give it to the Dire Curse for not actually killing me this weekend on the picks.
Although, I
think I may have been indirectly responsible for about a third of the Xfinity Series frontrunners being out of contention.
Well, Ryan, honestly, the Dire Curse was still in effect, because what does the Dire Curse do? It wants the thing that no one wants to have happen, happen. And you chose Denny Hamlin to win, and that was the Dire Curse. It was actually going to let it come true.
Like Truex.
As I said, I know Greg was paying attention during the last couple laps of the Xfinity Series race where I was typing away in the group chat.
Yep.
Yep.
I may or may not have been responsible for, like, three different drivers being out of the contention. And apparently Ryan Truex is immune.
Oh, my green flag was honestly the weather and the crowd, like Jamie said. I say the weather for Sunday. It was supposed to actually rain. I watched the weather all week. I was actually debating on whether to go or not, but I decided not to. But it was a great crowd. The crowd was back when I went last year. It was probably more than triple the crowd than it was when I went last year.
That and the big yellow rubber duck was a sight to be seen.
Oh my God, that rubber duck.
I was going to ask about the world's largest rubber duck. Did they have something where the duck fought Miles the Monster? Because if not, they missed a trick.
They should have put that thing on a big King Kong
versus Godzilla type thing between the rubber duck and Miles.
They did miss that opportunity.
Hey, stop putting the car.
Yeah,
I want to put the car on his hand.
Can I say my black flag?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
My black flag was just an arrow for shorter than a mile and a half track.
Mm-hmm.
It's the arrow. The arrow and the speed of the car. The arrow was what caused the race wasn't bad, but my personal opinion, it wasn't great. There was not a lot of passing unless you got up into that second groove and wasn't arrow blocked. And tires really mattered. Tires were way more than last year. Way more.
Yeah. Before I say mine, I was just going to add on to the rubber duck thing. I'd like to see Miles the Monster and the rubber duck in a cage match.
Yes, please.
That'd be fun. But now I got a couple green flags. Obviously, the crowd. It looked like the entire state of Delaware was at that track on Sunday. It was incredible to see. And my other green flag has to go to the 48 of Alex Bowman. He was up there in the top 10 most of the race. Was up there battling for the lead at one point during pit cycles and still came home with a top 10. I think he finished 8th or something like that. So finally the 48 crew's got some momentum. 48 crew's got some momentum rolling.
You better win that Jimmy Johnson scheme.
My black flag goes to Justin Allgaier for trying to manipulate the restart after the rain delay in the Xfinity race. He thought that he could re-choose after Custer pitted and was basically shoving Austin Hill up into the wall almost. And I'm like, you know, what in the hell is this guy doing? Like he bought himself
a genuine mistake.
Yeah, but he also bought himself another lap too, because you know they were banking on the rain to keep going, but it didn't. So I mean, honestly, in my opinion, for that he should have gotten a penalty, but in reality, he really did because he crashed twice in the final 10 laps. So,
and that one wasn't my fault.
Since Ben joined, Ben, do you have any green flags or black flags for the weekend?
I definitely have a green flag. Green flag would be that Dover sold the fuck out and nobody was allowed to come back in because it was at max capacity. That's a plus. especially since there's been a lot of talk lately in the recent years of them wanting to can the track.
Yeah, no. Say Dover better not be on the chopping block anytime soon.
Like, I would riot.
I've always said I think we should be on board with reducing tracks from 2 dates to 1 date before we should be looking at cutting tracks completely, like Dover, like a New Hampshire, like some of these other tracks that have only 1 date a year.
Yeah, I never knew. I never understood why one track should have 2 dates. It's cool and nice and all, but...
Well, and there's a couple of them put on a good show consistently, so I feel like those tracks earn it to an extent, but...
But they get too comfortable and they have the same tracks every year. You need to mix it up a little bit.
Yep. I think we lost Valentino.
He's still here.
I don't see him on my screen, but...
Yeah, he's in the Discord. He's got his mic muted, though, so...
Okay.
He might be dealing with something.
Gotcha. All right, well, before we go into our preview for Kansas and our race picks, we have a special segment that Jamie brought to my attention yesterday that he wanted me to put in. So I'm going to let Jamie take the lead on this. Take it away, sir.
So I was sitting at Dover during like some of the commercial breaks during caution. And they had a segment going on at the track where it was similar to what we see it usually with like the St. Louis Blues, where they show different people in the crowd and what their celebrity doppelganger would look like. And on Sunday, it was all about wrestling. So they had guys like The Undertaker and Triple H and Dwayne Johnson and things like that. And it got me thinking. If those wrestlers had doppelgangers in NASCAR, who would they be? Not necessarily on looks, but based off of performance. So to set the tone, an example would be Denny Hamlin would be The Rock. Reason for that, he is a polarizing figure who's not afraid to take on the version of being the bad guy. He's hated right now, too. He fights dirty when he needs to. And he's skilled enough to get the dub if he wants. So that's why Denny Hamlin would be The Rock. So knowing that we're going to go down the line and each person is going to come up with a NASCAR driver which wrestler would be like one of the NASCAR drivers. I'll go last because I got another one. So,
all right. Now, before we start, does it have to be current drivers, or can it be like any driver, past or present?
We can do any. Let's have some fun with it. It can be any driver.
Can I go with mine first?
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I'm going to compare Kyle Busch to Logan Paul because everybody loves
him. Damn you, Ben. That was going to be mine.
Memphis, though.
I fucking hate Logan Paul with a passion because he's a scammer. That's not related to fucking Kyle Busch. I just can't stand Kyle Busch because I think he's just a complete douchebag. But they match personalities completely because Logan Paul is a complete douchebag in real life anyway because he's been scamming people. So that's why I compare them both because I think they're both douchebags.
Actually, I was going to say mine now. I'm still going to stick with Logan Paul, but I was going to compare him to Kyle Larson. How popular. Why? No, not my bad. Chase Elliott, like how popular he is. He has a championship, and he's just like a figure that's well known.
Okay.
And he also sells free cheese, so kind of Logan Paul kind of has a little thing going on with his prime. Little promotion kind of thing going on there.
Yeah. Who's next?
I guess I'll go.
All right,
JP.
All right, gentlemen. I'm going to go, guys. I will talk to you guys later. Unfortunately, right. I can't stay for that.
Have fun. Good night.
All right, buddy.
Back to what I'm saying. So, I think Denny Hamlin
for me. Now, I don't know wrestling, but but I do know WWE, so one of those wrestlers could be like Danny Heller.
Wait, which
you
one?
You want a wrestler that's kind of like
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Let's see here. Let me think. Roman Reigns.
I mean, we already had one Denny Hamlin comparison, but Roman Reigns. Roman won a title. Denny hasn't done that yet.
Oh yeah, he hasn't.
No.
Oh shit!
No,
he hasn't won a title.
So who's a veteran wrestler who's been in the ring forever but hasn't won anything?
Are we talking about major championship or like tag team? So we can go to R-Truth.
I don't know.
Shit. Let's go. I think, with Pat McAfee.
Yeah. All right. There you go. There you go.
There we go.
They kind of look alike a little bit.
Let's see.
Valentino, you got one?
Yeah, I was going to say that Kyle Busch reminds me of Cody Rhodes because, you know, they think he – they pretty much say he's a crybaby, you know?
That used to be Kyle Busch.
Recorded for a long time ago.
What about you, Mike?
Did he fall asleep?
If you're talking, we can't hear you.
Is it muted?
I got nothing. I don't got one. I don't watch wrestling, so I don't know who anyone is.
Okay. Ryan.
All right. So I also don't watch wrestling, but I do have a comparison I'll make. I'm going to compare the mat in wrestling to the racetrack in NASCAR.
Look where you went with.
It's as close as I can get. You can't tell me I'm wrong, right?
I got another one.
Yeah.
I got another one. The Undertaker to Chase Elliott. Because he'll just show up anywhere and he'll choke slam you.
Or you could go with here's a better generic NASCAR comparison. The tag team matches in Royal Rumble to Talladega Super Speedway drafting.
Yeah.
It's better.
All right, I got
the Royal Rumble. I like that.
I got two. Joey Logano is Dominic Mysterio. He's scrawny and tries to take cheap shots whenever he can.
Yes, sir. Yo, you're right on Ray point Mysterio. With that one.
Well, I would have totally thought he was John Cena, you know?
Well,
I was going to say Gordon's John Cena.
Well, I was – no, in my second one – my second one –
you don't see him coming.
Yeah. Well, my second one needs really no explanation. Dale Earnhardt is John Cena, the greatest of all time.
There you go.
See, I was also thinking John Cena, but I was more thinking Kevin Harvick. A guy who's always around, but then he comes out of nowhere and ends up winning the race because you literally cannot see him.
Yep.
But when we're talking best of the best, you got to take Richard Petty and compare him to Roman Reigns, the man that had more at the time and age had more championships than anybody else. And is literally known as the king. So you have the king and the tribal chief. Raise your ones. Acknowledge them.
You know who could be Jey Uso?
Who?
Kyle Petty.
Oh man! Well, that was fun. We need to do that again sometime. But this weekend. We're going to Kansas, truck race on Saturday, and cup race on Sunday. Xfinity has the week off. Their next race is Darlington, but
yeah,
we are going to move into our race picks, and I will put it up to the camera. I have the wheel with all of our names on it. I took Tyler off because he left, so I will get the first spin here and see who it lands on. It's going to land on Jamie. You pick first.
Well, I came as a runner-up last time. I'm going to do it again. We're going to go back-to-back with Kyle Larson.
All right.
Thank you! Thank you!
All right. Next spin will be Ryan.
All right. Well, since I can't take Denny Hamlin again and try and work the dire curse against itself, I'll go ahead and I'll make Will very upset with me. I'm going to take Bubba Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I know he would want to use him, and two, I'm going to dire curse Bubba Wallace, aren't I?
Oh, sad.
All right. Next
what Bubba do you,
Ryan? He runs so well at this track. I'm going to end up cursing him, aren't I?
Next spin is going to be Mike.
I'm going to go with Reddick.
Damn it, you took my pick.
That's a good one.
All right. Next is going to be myself. All right, let's see. My pick, Tyler Reddick, is gone. I am going to take Dennis the Menace. Danny Hamlin.
Hey, he's just a kid. You can't take him. I'm just kidding.
All right. Around here, we call that a felony.
Next pick will be Ben.
Oh, I completely blanked on the fact that I could have taken Hamlin again. I thought, oh well.
I will take my boy, Chase Elliott.
Dang.
All right, down to two.
He's running out of Hendrick drivers to pick.
Nope.
Well, there's still one and that's what, really
what,
good there.
JP?
Yeah, JP there's still is one the next very pick. Good driver.
All right, the Raging Tiglian with the next pick of the Kansas draft, JP selects the 48. Out
bottom. I hope you chose the wrong one.
Ooh, yeah. All right.
I think you cut that number in half, JP.
And the last pick, spin the wheel, will be Valentino.
Get the 24 away and buy it.
The 24 right. Falls.
The real,
JP
the real
just
real
became
runner.
The Atlanta Falcons of the draft.
Yep, that was all the right. Ricky Pearsall pick of the draft.
All right, excellent all right. Pick. As always, I'll get the remaining picks through messaging and text and all that, but great show tonight. Great content, guys. As always, a big thank you to our sponsors, Century PC, Sleafs, Duke Cannon, W Energy, Bulletproof Coffee, Fanatics, and our newest sponsor, Fubo TV. Thank yes, you guys for coming on board
thank you.
To sponsor
Mr. Fubo.
This podcast. Be sure to check out and click on those affiliate links in our podcast description. You get that's discounts, cute. Guys. But,
yes, sir.
And Mama said nothing was free. You get that free discount right there. Come on.
Nothing's free. Not even the air you breathe.
Hey, yep. There is something that's free.
But,
this great content right here.
Yes, sir. Yes, hi-yo. Sir. So hit that subscribe button for sure.
Smash it.
Hit that like button. Rate us.
But, Before we close out, I do want to say everyone here at the Lap Down sends our thoughts and prayers out to the people in the Midwest, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. They've been affected by some pretty damaging and severe tornadoes over the last few days. We just hope that you guys recover well and you're able to rebuild soon.
Yeah, I always pray for you guys.
But,
I was just ahead of that storm. I barely missed that storm.
Oh, that's right. You're traveling during that.
Yeah, I was there.
That's going.
But
before we close out, hit that like and subscribe button on our podcast.
Make sure to tune into our other podcasts as well. The Dirt and Turf, and then we also have our NFL podcast that we will continue to do as well.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Be sure to rate and review.
There's not going to be any NFL news for another few months, but
give us 5 stars, or we'll hunt you down.
Yeah, for real. Hey, thank you to the Alkali Project, man. Thank you again. Check them out. They're really doing some great things over there, guys. For real, go check them out, the Alkali Project.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But this has been the Lap Down. I'm Greg, and for Ryan, Tyler, Mike, Ben, Jamie, Valentino, and JP, we will see you guys after Kansas. Deuces!
Deuces.
Yeah, Matt.